extend a welcome to all who are listening to this tape. This tape is made by the Christ Eternal Christian Church, which is an internet web-based church that may be found at the website address that's on the outside of this cassette. We at the Christ Eternal Christian Church believe that there are two major things that every human being needs to consider during their time here on this physical earth. The first is to become a Christian, and the second would be to come to know your Bible. It is with this second consideration that we're making this series of tapes to help you to know your Bible. During the tape, I'll be referring to and reading from the King James Version, and you should have a Bible following along, either a King James translation or your favorite translation. Naturally, it will go a lot smoother if you also use the King James Version. At some point, I may get ahead of you in your reading and you're pondering what I've said, and I strongly encourage that you use your pause button on your cassette player to catch up in your reading or thinking as we go along. A set of charts was also provided with this tape to the original person who ordered the tape, and these will also facilitate your working through the material. If for some reason you have not received these charts, please feel free to email us on the email address found on the outside of the cassette, and we'll mail a package of those charts to you. In our last tape, I introduced some nomenclature and terminology that I think should be explained in greater depth. In particular, on this side of the tape, I'd like to talk about the expression, the day of the Lord, which I used when talking about the two covenants in the Bible. To help to facilitate us, I'd like you to turn to figure 34A, which is entitled The Day of the Lord at the top, and the first scripture that's referred to is 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. A very powerful and controversial verse in some portions of the church today. We'll be talking about the second part of this verse on a later tape. Right now, what I'd like to do is to define from the scriptures what this reference that Peter makes to the day of the Lord is. What does the Bible tell us about the day of the Lord? The first thing we should do is to look for the first occurrence of this in the scriptures. And what I'd like you to do is turn in your Bible to Isaiah 13:6. Here the prophet Isaiah is speaking, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." Notice the input that Isaiah is giving us here. He's saying that the day of the Lord shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. The Almighty naturally being a reference to God. In that same chapter, drop down to verse 9. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." My, we can certainly see judgment and destruction in that verse 9 being associated with the day of the Lord. Isaiah is saying that when the day of the Lord comes, there'll be what we would call cruelty, both with wrath and fierce anger, laying the land desolate, and sinners being destroyed out of it. And these two verses above, the day of the Lord, certainly can say to be a day of judgment. And I see it, and I think you will, by the time we finish our study here from the Scriptures, that the day of the Lord indicates God coming in judgment. Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Now, that verse is also the essence of much discussion in the Christian church. What most people do not understand is that verse is using what Bible scholars call apocalyptic language. We can see in it that it's talking about major cosmic disturbances, and that these are going to accompany God's coming in judgment. This portion of the scripture that we've been reading in Isaiah 13 is describing the day of the Lord when God brought judgment on Babylon. And the reason that we can say that is if we look in verse 1 of this chapter, we can see that it is specifically Babylon that is being spoken about by Isaiah. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, did see. Now, God did bring judgment on Babylon, and he used the Medes, a group of peoples, to punish her in 539 BC for her wickedness and iniquity. Notice the mode of operation here. God is bringing this judgment upon a group of people, but he's using other people to bring about that punishment for the wickedness and the iniquities of the Babylonians. Let's turn now to Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 3. Here again, we're going to be talking about a day of the Lord. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. Now, this is not the same instance that we had previously in Isaiah. This scripture is talking about Egypt being destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, in the mid-6th century B.C. Verse 6 describes the judgment to befall Egypt. Thus saith the Lord, they also that uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down. From the tower of Sion shall they fall in it by the sword, saith the Lord God. So here again we can see clearly that the scripture is using this expression, the day of the Lord, to describe judgment from God. Turn now to the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 1, where yet another day of the Lord is described. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Now, Zion and the holy mountain are references in the scriptures to the city of Jerusalem. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Now, Joel describes the judgment that's associated with this particular day of the Lord, starting in Joel chapter 1, verse 6. Let's read a little bit of that scripture. For a nation is come upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth for the husband of a youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field, are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Now you can continue to read in that chapter. I wanted to read down through verse 15, because there again, the expression, the day of the Lord, appears. And again we see that the person that's bringing about this day of the Lord is the Almighty, who naturally is God. Now all of this apocalyptic language points to the downfall of the rulers at the time that the invaders used by God to bring judgment commenced their invasion. I think a thing that's very interesting about this particular section of scripture in Joel is that in verse 11 of chapter 2, God even calls the army that's going to come in and bring about this judgment, his army, refers to it as the army of the Lord's. Let's read that verse. Joel 2, verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? In that same second chapter of Joel, we need to read, to complete this particular section on the day of the Lord, verses 28 through 31, starting with verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Here God is saying that he would pour out his spirit before the great and terrible day of the Lord, in verse 31. This same event was confirmed by Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he said that Joel's prophecy was fulfilled in their day. Now that scripture is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 20. Starting in verse 14, we have a section of scripture in Acts chapter 2. We have a section of scripture which is sometimes referred to as Peter's Pentecostal sermon. And in that sermon, starting with verse 16, Peter says the following: But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Now we know from just what we've read that Joel's prophecy, back in Joel chapter 1 and 2, has been verified in the New Testament by Peter in his sermon on the day of Pentecost. Therefore, we know that this day of the Lord was to follow Pentecost, which it did approximately 40 years later in the siege and destruction of the city of Jerusalem. It's important also to note the cosmic disturbances mentioned in Joel chapter 2, 30 and 31, and in Acts 2, 19 and 20, and how closely they are aligned with what we see in Matthew 24, 29. Now, we've just read the prophetic language that Joel used in chapter 2 of his book, and we also just read what Peter said in his sermon on Pentecost. Now let's take a look in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Here we have Jesus speaking, and he's talking about the signs of the end of the age to the disciples. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So we can see that these cosmic disturbances that are couched in this prophetic language have parallelism between Joel, Peter, and Jesus. So the expression, the day of the Lord in the Old Testament, is applied to different nations and different circumstances. But all of the references in the New Testament are to the day of the Lord that occurred in AD 67 through 70, when the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. Israel as a nation was destroyed at the parousia, or the coming, or the presence of Christ in AD 70. Therefore, when the student of the Bible comes to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, which we started at the top of figure 34a, where it read, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night," how can he think of any other interpretation of the day of the Lord than the events that surrounded the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Peter, in his writing, is speaking prophetically about the coming destruction of Jerusalem through the armies of Rome in the AD 67 through 70 time period. Peter is using the same cosmic disturbance symbols and language in the same manner as they were used in the Old Testament, when the various days of the Lord have been described in the previously quoted passages. Remember, what we have just looked at were three different, distinct days of the Lord in the Scriptures, and all three of them used the same sort of apocalyptic language, and they were all bringing judgment on a group of people by God, by using the instrument of another group of peoples. It is common for Bible readers who are unfamiliar with the apocalyptic imagery of the Old Testament to take these words as describing literal events associated with some final cosmic event in the future. In spite of these literal interpretations, we must keep in mind that Peter had the same intent in his words in the passage that we read in 1 Peter chapter 3 as was expressed in all of the other New Old Testament passages we have examined. Now I asked a question, why should 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 be translated and understood differently than the Old Testament occurrences of this type of language? If the use of these apocalyptic terms and expressions in the Old Testament, in the two instances that we've seen, meant one thing, we must see that the third occurrence in the New Testament must also mean the same. This kind of reasoning is drawing on a Bible interpretation principle which states that we must let the Bible interpret itself. And clearly, the expression, the day of the Lord, is explained in the Bible as God coming in judgment. And in this particular case, the third instance, in AD 70, to judge the Jewish system of religion and to put away forever the Old Covenant. Now that concludes the discussion on the day of the Lord.